Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him.
Amen. Hey, can we give it up for our worship team, please? I love these guys. I love their commitment. I love their talent. I love everything about them and the work. I say it all the time, and I say it because they need to hear it. The work that these guys put in is amazing to me. And I'm just so blessed to see the progress of our worship team and to see the growth of our worship team. It's just an amazing, amazing thing. So, thank you guys. One more time for the worship team. So, this week, before we get started, we've got a guest speaker who's going to come up for just a few minutes. Her name is Kayla Atchison. She is the executive director of Akron Pregnancy Services. I'm going to invite her up now, and I think they took the microphone. Oh, no. Hey, guys, can you bring me a microphone? There we go. Thank you. Okay. So we're going to invite Kayla up, and every year we do the baby bottle boomerang. And it's something that we've always been able to get behind as a church. And I'm going to invite Kayla up to speak now.
Well, thank you all.
Is it on? Is the microphone on? Yep, yes. There we go.
Well, good morning. I hope you guys are all having a great and restful morning after daylight savings. Like Pastor Rodney says, my name is Kayla Atchison, and I am the executive director of Akron Pregnancy Services. And it's been a blessing to serve as executive director in the 40 years that we have been an organization. I'm only the third executive director, which is amazing to see how the Lord has been faithful through all the years to Akron Pregnancy Services. And I also want to thank you all, because for 35 years, you guys have been supporting women in need through your generosity and support of Akron Pregnancy Services. And your generosity through the baby bottle boomerang is helping us to equip and empower moms and dads to parent their children. In this last year, 229 babies were saved through our Eva's Women's Clinic. And nearly 800 moms and dads received support through our pregnancy and parenting program. I always think it's important at every church that I have the opportunity to speak to that I thank your pastor for his leadership. So Pastor Ronnie, as a leader of a church, has the opportunity to take a public stand for life. And that is not always easy in the current culture and environment we live in. So thank you, Pastor Ronnie, for doing that and allowing us to speak today. As believers, we know that speaking out against the atrocity of abortion is not political, but a mandate from God to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves and to ensure justice for those being crushed. It's extremely meaningful that I am here speaking with you all during the first Sunday of Lent. With this being a time of reflection and reverence to the supreme giver and saver of life, Jesus Christ. At Akron Pregnancy Services, we base everything off of John 10:10, the abundant life model. Christ died for us to live and to live life abundantly. Saving lives of the preborn is critical. We do this by providing pregnancy tests and ultrasounds that give the mother a first glimpse of the life growing inside of them. The need for these services continue to grow, and we are in need of nurses and sonographers. If you or someone you know has the skill set, please reach out. We've actually started a mobile medical unit that goes out into the communities and meets women where they are, especially if they're apprehensive about coming into a brick and mortar location. Like Jesus, we want abundant life for all, and that includes the parents. This comes through developing individual relationships with moms and dads, listening to their stories, empowering and equipping them to parent, and pointing them to the ultimate Father, our Father in heaven. This past year, we have seen a 137% increase in men coming to our center. And this is remarkable. We know that men play an important and essential role in the parenting journey, and that often when women are unsure of choosing life, that man can step in and really make a difference. And so we are no longer listening to what society says, that this is not a men's choice or a men's decision. We are welcoming them into the center, and we are providing them mentorship and guidance so that they can grow into the godly fathers that God has designed them to be. And so we can't do any of this without the support of community partners and churches like SBC. Like I said, you guys have been involved with Akron Pregnancy Services for the last 35 years. And through that 35 years, you have helped save countless lives, and you have empowered and equipped parents. And I know that if today we have the baby bottle boomerang, and this is an opportunity for you guys to really show how supportive you are all for life and for all the abundant life that Jesus Christ offers through his death and resurrection. So I strongly encourage you today to dig deep in your pockets. Actually, in the United States, $10 billion worth of change is often cast aside. I'm sure that you guys have a few quarters, or even will take checks and online donations too during this process. There's a slip inside the baby bottles that shows you the different ways to give. But it is estimated that $1,200 saves the life of one child, and that is through the cost of ultrasounds and providing material goods like diapers, formulas, and our parenting program. So I thank you for the time today, and I thank you for standing in support of life. And I really do think it's important that you guys are all here worshiping and praising our God, Father, and Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you, Pastor Ronnie.
Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. All right. That's, wow. $1,200 saves the life of a child. That is the first time I've ever heard that. Can you imagine? $1,200. Well, you know, it's 1,200 bucks. But for a life? Wow. That's impactful. Thank you so much for being here with us. And let me just say, like, you know, you come to church, many of you are here every week, and you're like, dang, bro, you're asking us for money again? Listen, first of all, nobody would expect you to give what you don't have. But in the book of Malachi, the Bible literally tells us there is one area of our lives where God says, test me in this. And you know what it is? It's giving. Okay? So don't give because I'm here saying, don't do any of that. Just go to the Lord in prayer. Talk to God about it, because He is the ultimate authority. And let me just tell you about something that we had the amazing opportunity to do, and many of you didn't even know it, because we didn't get up here on stage and say, hey, can you give us this or help us with this? But Carol went throughout our congregation and asked some specific people if they would be willing to help some families right here in Springfield. And through Springfield Baptist Church, 8 families were given groceries to survive on, over $1,000. 8 families here in Springfield Township were blessed with food, essentials, non-taxables, toilet papers, different things that people don't even think about. $1,000 is the conservative guess, because we didn't count the dollars, and I didn't want to get up here and be hyperbolic and overinflate it, but a minimum of $1,000 was given by you guys, and we never even talked about it up here. Yeah, thank you. And that's not just like, that is tangible things that might have helped somebody get through the end of, you've all been there. Sometimes there's too much month and not enough money. Well, this month, these past couple weeks, through Springfield Baptist Church, 1920 Crumroy, we were able to feed some families. That's a big deal, and I'm very thankful for that. So again, Malachi, read it. Read it for yourself. He says, test me in this. Everything comes from Him, and it's given to us. And we're required as believers to be good stewards of that. So it all comes from Him. So I don't know how to transition into my message, so I'm just going to do it. We're going into week 2 of our Jonah series. And I want to start this week like I start most of my sermons, and that's with a question. The question is, if you are a Christian in this place, if you are indeed a Christ follower, by a show of hands and online, you can do this too, say me or put the little raised hand emoji, who would say that you believe in the power of prayer? Show of hands? Yeah, cool. Should be everybody. Good. So, follow-up question would be of you that just raised your hands or said, yeah, I believe in the power of prayer. How many of you would say, I should probably pray more? Interesting, right? It was like everybody raised their hands for both questions. Those of us, like, we follow Jesus. We believe that He hears our prayers. We believe that Jesus loves us in response to our prayers. We believe that we're not just praying to the sky or some just random thing. We believe that we're praying to the Creator of the universe. We believe that we're praying to the One that gave His life so that we could live. That is a foundational belief of the Christian faith. But yet, almost all of us would say, man, I should probably pray a little bit more. I should be a little bit more engaged with my relationship with Jesus. I should be more intentional with knowing Him well. Well, if you haven't been able to tell already, we're going to be talking a lot about prayer today. And before I even do that, let me give you a recap of where we've been up to this point. So, this is, in fact, week 2 of our Jonah series, and we're going chapter by chapter, almost verse by verse, through this book of the Bible. And last week, we looked at what we could refer to as the reluctant prophet, okay? In the very first verse of the book of Jonah, the Bible tells us that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and the word of the Lord told him, hey, yo, go preach to that wicked people, go up to Nineveh and preach to them, because they're super wicked, and their wickedness has come before me. So what we saw take place in that instance was, you know, God told Jonah, go. And Jonah said, no. And then God said, whoa. If that was cheesy, I stole it from a pastor online, so blame him, okay? Anyway, so God told him to go to Nineveh. He said, go and preach to these people. And instead of doing what it was that God told him to do, Jonah found a ship. And he went as far as he possibly could in the opposite direction. First to Joppa and then to Tarshish, which was 2,500 miles away. And based on the journey of Jonah, last week we established the principle that if you want to run from God, the devil will always offer you a ride. If you want to run from God, the devil will always provide a vehicle in the opposite direction. You can always find a ship sailing in the opposite direction of God's call for your life. So Jonah finds the boat, he gets on the boat, he's traveling in the opposite direction, and then boom, there's a big storm. The Bible tells us that the storm was about to bust the ship to pieces. Jonah's like, hey, you should probably throw me overboard. He says this to these pagan sailors, you should probably throw me overboard. They didn't even want to do it. We talked about the fact that they were pagans, yet they were trying to do the right thing. And here's this Christian who's running from God, and they're like, we don't want to throw you over. But eventually they have to. They realize that that's the only option. And this is kind of where the story gets a little crazy. Because they throw Jonah over, and as soon as he hits the water, what happens? The seas are calm. And because they see this amazing display of God's power, the sailors actually got saved right there on the spot. Now, for the sailors, that's a pretty cool thing, right? Like hashtag praise report, right? But Jonah's still alone in the ocean. Jonah's life isn't looking real good. Jonah is overboard in the water. And that's where we left off with our homeboy Jonah. He's in the water. It's looking like it's over for him. But what we didn't get to, there's a verse that we didn't read last week. And it wraps up chapter 1. And this verse, it might seem kind of strange at first, but this verse actually changes Jonah's situation drastically. And let's look at it together. Jonah 1:17 said, now the Lord, what's that word? That was weak sauce. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, let's make sure that we're all on the same page here. We're keeping up with each other. Chapter 1, Jonah ran from God's direction. Now we see Jonah in the belly of this whale-like fish. And in chapter 2, we'll see that Jonah prayed. Jonah prayed. Jonah 2:1 says, from the inside of the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Jonah did what?
Prayed.
Jonah prayed. He prayed. Jonah found himself in a really sticky situation, and he started to pray. So the summary of chapter 1, if we simplified it, it would be that Jonah ran. Spoiler alert, the summary of chapter 2, if we were to simplify it, is that Jonah prayed. Now, as I was researching and preparing for this message, there have been so many sermons preached on the book of Jonah, and specifically Jonah chapter 2. So there were so many sermon titles that I saw out there, and I just wanted to share a couple with you. One of them was Fishy Prayers. Who likes Fishy Prayers? Yeah, me neither. I didn't think it was cool either. How about Deep Sea Drama? That was one of them. Deep Sea Drama? Nobody? Okay. I saw Living on a Prayer. I saw that one for all the older people in the room. Okay. But here's the one I went with. This is super conservative, theologically sound. Today's sermon title is A Whale of a Prayer. Okay. All right, let's pray, guys, real quick. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would close my mouth and that you would open yours, Lord. There is nothing that I can say short of your anointing that can change anybody, that can help anybody, God. I just pray that your presence would be so thick in this place. God, I pray that we would get uncomfortable and that we would draw near to you in a way that maybe we never have on a Sunday morning. I pray that we would remove the veil. I pray that we would get real with each other. I pray that we would worship you and draw near to you, God. I pray that you would just change hearts here this morning, God. Lord, I pray if somebody is here and they're hurting or they're lost or they're confused or they've got something in their life that is just weighing them down, God, that you would use something that you gave me to say to change their situation this morning. Lord, I pray for a revival in this church and in this nation, God, that we would get behind the message of our Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord. God, I pray that you would use this message. In Jesus' name, amen. So, to end chapter 1, We saw that Jonah was running from God. And during our sermon last week of chapter 1, we established who the main character of the book of Jonah was. And who is that? God. Good. So, the very last verse of chapter 1, we read it already once, but let's read it again. Jonah 1:17 says, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah." Provided. He provided a fish to swallow Jonah. Now, I find that kind of interesting and kind of funny, like not ha-ha funny, like kind of strange funny. And let me ask you, let me paint a picture. Let's say that you were out on a fishing expedition with my homeboy right here in the front seat, Jeff Sumi. Raise your hand, Jeff. Jeff loves to fish, okay? So let's say that Jeff takes you out on Lake Erie in a boat that is way too small for Lake Erie, because that's something he would do. And the waves are way too big, and y'all end up flipping over in Lake Erie, okay? So let's just say you find yourself in the middle of Lake Erie. Do you think you would want a big, huge fish to come swallow you up to save you? No, that wouldn't be the refuge that we're praying for. We'd be hoping for like a life jacket or a big, big boat captained by somebody not named Jeff Sumi, right? I love you, Jeff. But I'd seriously doubt that any of us would say, "Lord Jesus, please send a gigantic, oversized perch to swallow me up," or whatever, right? That's not something we're gonna pray. That's not something that you're going to post on social media, hashtag blessed, swallowed by a fish. It's just not going to happen. So as I was, you know, kind of preparing for this, I got an email, and she's not here, I don't think. Bonnie Byers sent me this email. Because as I was kind of preparing for this, I'm thinking like, dude, being in the belly of this like whale, you know, we're not 100% sure it was a whale, but it might have been. Being in the belly of this thing, I'm like, that probably would have been super stinky and like this really awful place to be. But you know what's actually, you know what's in the belly of a whale? Have you ever thought about this? Let me show you. I think we have it up here. It's called ambergris, okay? It's actually a waxy substance that comes from the digestive system of a sperm whale. Now, again, we're not 100% sure biblically that it was a whale, but many people compare it to a whale. So I think we can kind of apply this somewhat loosely. So what does that mean? Well, apparently, it would have actually kind of smelled good in there, right? And this is something that Bonnie, and this is why I shared it, because this was so cool. I'd never thought about this before. Bonnie in this email said, maybe, just maybe, that scent that Jonah was covered in would have made him a little more appealing to the Ninevites, because they hated each other. I don't know. That's not a biblical thing. That's just a thought, and I just wanted to share it with you. But now, all of that being said, I'm still cool on being in the belly of a whale. I'm out. I don't want any part of that. I don't care if it smells good. I don't care what the waxy... I'm out. I'm cool. If I ever found myself in the belly of a whale, I would be wondering, how the heck, God, how did you let this happen to me? Why am I going through this? Like, really, God? You provided a huge fish to swallow me up? This isn't provision. This is pain. That's what I would be thinking. And there might be some of you in this room or tuning in online that think that pain is always a punishment. You might think that pain is always a punishment. So let's kind of dig into this for a minute. I want you to put yourself in Jonah's shoes. To Jonah, this big fish was nothing more than a big, big problem. And Jonah is probably thinking that, yo, it can't get much worse. Like, Jonah's probably thinking, like, I didn't ask for any of this. I didn't ask to be called to Nineveh. I didn't ask to be, well, I guess I did ask to be thrown over the ship. But I didn't ask to get stuck in the middle of the storm. I didn't ask to get swallowed up by this giant fish. But who provided the fish? It was the main character of the story. God provided the fish. And this is what I want you to understand this morning. Write this down if you're a note taker. Sometimes what we call a problem, God calls provision. Sometimes what we call a problem is actually God's provision. And sometimes God may provide in a way that you never would have chose for him to provide. Sometimes God's going to provide in a way that you would never expect God to provide. In Jonah's story, God provided this big fish to swallow him up. And what I can promise you is that Jonah never planned on being fish food. And I wonder if in the beginning, like as soon as he was swallowed up, I wonder if he would have been lamenting the fact that he was even there. Upset, frustrated, I'm sure. And here's what I know about people in general and Christians specifically is that there are some in this very room or maybe some who are tuning in online that would say, you know what? I never chose to be where I'm at right now. I'm in a place in my life where I don't know how I got here. I didn't ask for any of this. It could be tied to your marriage, like how the heck did my marriage get so crazy? How did we get so distant? How did my marriage get to the point where I'm not sure we're going to make it? Maybe for you, it's just your relationship with Christ. How on earth did I get so far? How did I stray? How is it that I'm drinking every single day? And how is it that I'm doing drugs again when I've been sober for 5 years? How is it that I can't stop looking at this stuff on the internet? How? Why? What got me here? And you're saying, I never chose this. I never wanted to be in this place. This is not what I want. Just like Jonah didn't choose to be in the belly of that fish, I want to remind all of us that our God is so, so good that God doesn't always give you what you want, but God always gives you what you need. Always. And what that whole thing boils down to is the fact that what we need most every minute of every day is Him. From the belly of this giant fish, this is exactly what Jonah remembered. This is exactly what came to mind for Jonah. God will always give you what you need. And He provided this fish for Jonah. It wasn't ideal, but it was provision. Now, we can back up just a little bit for context. How did Jonah end up in the belly of the whale? Well, practically speaking, he was thrown overboard, right? And he was in the middle of the ocean. When you're in the middle of the ocean, your only option is to try to stay afloat, right? Like, you're treading water, you're doing whatever. The question would become, how long do you think Jonah could have done that before he sank? So Jonah's in the middle of the water, completely hopeless. Completely hopeless. There's not a single thing that Jonah could have done on his own to save his life. He couldn't doggy paddle enough. He couldn't swim enough. He couldn't tread water enough. There's nothing that he could have done. Let me put it this way. There's not a single accomplishment that he had in his life that could have saved him. This applies to us. Like, whatever it is that you hold so near and dear to your heart, whatever it is that you think makes you a little bit maybe better than the next person, whether it be your family, whether it be your money, your education, maybe it's the number of followers that you've got on TikTok or Instagram, maybe it's your fully funded emergency fund, your rainy day fund, your nice car, your boat. You can't do it on your own. Just like Jonah couldn't do it on his own, we all, as Christ followers, need to come to a point in our lives where we realize that only God, nothing but the blood of Jesus, absolutely nothing else can save us but Him. Jonah, on his own, was completely helpless in the middle of the water. But just because he was helpless doesn't mean that he was hopeless. It doesn't mean that he had lost all hope, and there's such a big difference in that, right? Just because he found himself in a place where he could not help himself didn't mean that he had run out of hope. Was Jonah's life a mess? Heck yeah, it was a mess. He's in trouble. He's stuck in the middle of the ocean. He's stranded, right? Overboard. He's stuck. Many of us can relate to that. Many of us are in a place in our life where it's just like Jonah, and it ain't looking good. You might be in the toughest season that you've ever been in. Maybe it's, again, marriage, work-related, whatever it is, relationships. You're at a place in your life where you're like, you know what? Unless God does something, this ain't gonna work. That's where Jonah is. Maybe you're at a place in your life financially where you're struggling so hard, and you hear me come up here on stage every Sunday and talk about we should give, and you're like, Pastor, you should give to me because I'm broke. Maybe it's your health. Maybe you're struggling with your health. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's your job. Regardless of your situation, the Bible has the resolution for you. James 5:13 says this in part. This is only the first part of the verse. It says, is any one of you suffering? What should they do? What should they do? There you go. That worked that time. They should pray. They should pray. If anyone in here today is suffering, if you're hurting, you should pray. My goal here this morning is to speak God's promise over you, to speak God's truth over you. If you are in a place where you are just so lost, or you're just hurting, or I don't know, you can fill in the blank there, but regardless of where you find yourself, I want to tell you something. That God's word says when his people speak to him, he listens. He listens. He leans into you. It's not a passive thing where he just hears it. He listens. He listens to you. That's God's truth. That's God's promise. You should pray when you find yourself in a situation where maybe you're like Jonah, and you're helpless. But if you find yourself in a helpless place, make sure that you never lose hope. Because God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, always hears your prayers, and he will always answer them, not according to your will, but according to his. Always, 100% of the time. Sometimes it's no, but he will never ignore you. Never. Now, on the flip side of that, I also just as a disclaimer, even if you're not in trouble, even if you're not hurting, even if today's a pretty good day, even if your life is in a really nice spot right now, guess what you should do? You should pray too. But what Scripture doesn't tell us is when we're hurting or when we're in trouble, the book of James doesn't say, hey, if you're hurting, you should worry. You should worry a whole lot because that's going to help you. It doesn't say when you're hurting, you should complain about everything to everyone and that'll fix your problem. It doesn't say that either. It doesn't say that when you're in trouble, you should hop online and make a really long detailed post about everything that's going on in your life so everybody knows. Modernizing the text. But what the Bible does say is that when you're hurting, you should pray. It says when you're in trouble, you should pray. So what did Jonah pray when he was in trouble? What did he pray? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, all of you, collectively, because I'm going to answer it. Jonah chapter 2, verse 2 says this. He said, that's Jonah, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. He listened to my cry. Jonah 2, 1, Jonah prays to God. Jonah was in trouble, and he knew what time it was. You know what time it was? It was time to pray. It was time to pray. Now, the next six verses of this chapter are Jonah's prayer, and I'm going to read it. At first, I was just kind of hit the highlights, but I feel like I'm supposed to read this whole thing. So I'm going to have you follow along with me. Jonah 2, verses 3 through 9. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet, I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred over me, or barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. Verse 7. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Now, that's a prayer. That you might hear that and you might be like, man, that sounds super spiritual. And if you've ever heard me preach about prayer, you've heard me ask this question. How many of you have ever been around somebody that when they pray, they sound super duper spiritual? Yeah, I think most of us have. It's like when you're around them and they're praying, it's like maybe the Holy Spirit starts to lift you up. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. But when they pray, you're like, man, they got a direct line to Jesus. This person's praying, and there's no way that those words don't reach directly into heaven and tap God on the shoulder and say, hey, yo, you got to listen to this. That's how it feels sometimes. When you hear these people praying, you think to yourself like, man, I don't pray like that. Like, I can't pray like that. Like, you think to yourself, this is me. hey, God, how's it going? Me again, just checking in. Thanks for today. Thanks for this food. Oh, is that my phone? Like, that's how a lot of us pray, right? And then when you hear these other type of people that are praying like Jonah prays, you're like, oh, man. This lady prays the house down. This dude knows how to pray. You know the answer to that? The most effective way that we can pray is to pray God's word. A lot of the time when you hear those people praying that you think are super spiritual, guess what they're doing? A lot of the time, they're praying God's word back to him. Because God's word is real, it's relevant, it's valid. God's word will never return void. God's word is extremely powerful. So when you might not know how to pray, there's your answer. Well, why are you talking about that? What does that have to do with anything? I'm glad you asked that question too. You guys are full of questions today. That's exactly what Jonah's doing in verses 3-9. In Jonah chapter 2, he was praying the Psalms. Let me show you. I've got a ton of Bible verses here for you. Who would have thought that you'd come to church and see the Bible? Cool, great, don't care. Okay, just kidding. All right, Jonah 2:2 says this. It starts out, I called to the Lord and he answered me. Okay, what does Psalm 3:4 say, AV team? Thank you. I call out to the Lord and he answers me. Okay, what's the other part of Jonah 2:2 say? Deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. What's next? Psalm 16:10, because you will not abandon me in the realm of the dead. What's next, guys? Oh, I said I have been banished from your sight. What's the next psalm? In my alarm, I said I am cut off or banished from your sight. Jonah 2:4. Jonah 2:5. The waters closed over me. What's the next psalm? For the waters have come up to my neck. What's the next one? Those who cling to worthless idols, the next psalm. I hate those who cling to worship idols. Over and over and over again, throughout this 6-verse prayer, we see Jonah praying God's word back to him. When you're in a situation like Jonah finds himself in Jonah chapter 2. When you're in the belly of the whale or the fish or the whatever the heck it was that swallowed him up. When your life is looking not so good, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. When it's looking like maybe that water is just getting higher and higher and higher, I think of the Titanic when Jack slipped off the door, right? There was room, by the way. But if that's your life, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. And that's what Jonah did. But if you don't know how to pray, pray God's word. Because as I just said, the Bible tells us that God's word never returns void. And maybe you're sitting here and you're like, that sounds great, Pastor, but I don't know God's word. That's cool, because you know what? You can learn it. All you got to do is read God's word. It's not even that difficult. Who has your cell phone in the place today? Raise your hand. Everybody, you're lying if you're not raising your hands. I'm kidding. I don't know if you have a cell phone. Maybe you don't. But if you have a cell phone, you have God's word. You have access to God's word. The Bible app is such an amazing thing. It's an amazing tool. The YouVersion Bible app, listen, no partnership, no sponsor, no nothing. It's just an amazing tool. And let me just say, if you don't have the Bible app on your phone, but you've got like TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Discord, Slack, WhatsApp, whatever, and you say, Pastor, I don't know how to pray, I think I've diagnosed the problem, okay? But here's the really cool thing about the YouVersion Bible app. First of all, our church is on it, okay? Parker did this awesome thing where you can actually go on to YouVersion Bible app and you can follow Springfield Baptist Church. And I think just about every sermon series that we do, there's a devotion plan on there that's going to align with what we're preaching about. That's pretty cool, right? But that's not even what I'm talking about. The really cool thing about the Bible app, when we're talking about prayer, like, I don't know how to pray. I don't know God's word. The cool thing is you can literally pull up the Bible app and go to a certain spot and type in what you're dealing with. Anxiety, depression, fear, anger, lust, whatever it is. You can type it in and hit search, and it's going to bring up God's word that is relevant to the problem you're dealing with. And you can just pray God's word. It literally does everything for you except open the app and pray. So, you, just like Jonah, can cry out to the Lord. And maybe you don't know how, but I just taught you. You're welcome. So Jonah prayed. Jonah prayed. Jonah prayed. And he said, God heard me. But if you look at the next text, the next part of the scripture that we read, even though God heard him, you'll notice nothing changed. In that moment, absolutely nothing changed. You might be like, dang, Pastor Ronnie, that's not encouraging at all. You had me. I was going to start praying, but what? Why if nothing changes? Now, for me, it's actually very encouraging because I'm like this, like, ADD, fast-paced, like, drive the ball down the court, get the job done. They call me a driver, like, go, 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 go. That's me. So to me, this is really encouraging because I'm like, you know, when I'm praying, I'll be like, listen, God, we're on the same page here. I love you. I know you. And I know your timing is perfect. And I know that your timing is never late. And I know you know all of those things. But if I could just offer a little piece of advice, right now might be the best time for this to happen. Does anybody relate to that? I do. Like, I trust you, God, but right now might be better than later. Because of that, this is really encouraging to me. Because Jonah prayed in verse 1 of chapter 2. And we know that God heard him. But we didn't see anything happen in verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's all the way to verse 10. Where we see a literal miracle take place. But before that, before verse 10, obviously, is verse 9. And what happens in verse 9 makes 10 even more powerful. Let's read Jonah 2:9. It says, But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. That's powerful. Why is that so powerful? Because this is praise in the middle of the muck. This is praise in the bottom of the belly of the fish. This is praise at rock bottom. This is praise before the miracle takes place. This is Jonah praising before the provision. That's why it's so powerful. Why? Because it's pretty easy to praise once the miracle happens. Oh, they were healed. Praise Jesus. But it's really hard to praise when they're in the hospital hooked up to the machines that you're not sure they're going to come off of. It's pretty hard to praise when you're in the belly of the beast that consumed you. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're stuck. I've mentioned this a couple of times, but maybe you're somewhere in life that you're hurting. Maybe you're in the belly of the fish. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to have Jonah 2:9 type of faith. I want you to have praise before the provision, because our God is a true and loving God, and His word is true and loving and real. And when you pray to Him, He hears you. And even if the provision isn't your preference, it is promised. He will send you provision. You got to have that Jonah 2:9 type of faith. Having the Jonah 2:9 type of faith is an example of praising God not for what He's done, which we should do, but not praising Him just for what He's done, but praising Him for who He is. Now, in that same verse, let's look at another part of this, Jonah 2:9. Let's look at the last part here. It says, What I have vowed, I will make good. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. You know what we're witnessing right here? We're witnessing Jonah repenting. Jonah's repenting of his sins. He's like, look, God, I ran from you. I get it. God, I disobeyed you. I get it. But God, I'm going to make it right. This is for somebody in this place today. There's somebody here who's doing what Jonah did. And you're not doing what God told you to do. You're running from God. You're being disobedient to His call on your life. There's a sin called the sin of commission, which means you're literally sinning against His word for your life. And then there's also a sin called the sin of omission, where God told you to do something and you, like Jonah, said, nah, I'm cool. I'm out. Maybe for you it's different. Maybe you're a Christian and you love Jesus, but yet you keep Jesus in the background. You got Him on a shelf collecting dust somewhere. Jonah made it right in the belly of the beast before he was ever removed from the situation. You can do that too. We can do that too. If that's you today, today is the day. It's time. It's time. It's time to pray. Before the provision ever shows up, it's time to pray. Before you're ever rescued from the situation, it's time to pray. That's what Jonah did. It's time to repent. It's time to say, God, I'm not going to hurt you anymore. I'm going to stop the sins that I'm stuck in, the sexual sin, the addiction, the lies, the gossip, the drug, whatever it is. It's time for us to make it right. Jonah prayed. He prayed verses 3 through 9, and then verse 10, the very last verse that we see in chapter 2, says this, Jonah 2:10, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now, let's be real here. That's really kind of cool, but it's also kind of super gross. I can't imagine it being vomited out of the mouth of the whale is something that would be very glamorous. I mean, I guess it's better than the alternative. That's as far as I'll take that. But it's super cool to see that Jonah lived 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. But then his reward was to be puked out of the mouth of the fish. Gross. Don't miss this, though. It's so important. Don't miss this. This man, Jonah, spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. In day one, he prayed. Night one, he prayed. Day two, he prayed. Night two, he prayed. Day three, he prayed. Night three, what did he do? He prayed. This is a message for somebody here that has been praying and waiting for God to move, and you're not seeing anything happen. I want you to remember this. While you're waiting, God's still working. While you're waiting, God is working. Just because you don't see it happening doesn't mean that God's not doing his thing. When the time was right, God commanded the fish to vomit Jonah out. This is a great reminder. It didn't happen until the time was right. Jonah was in that fish 3 days, three nights. The timing had to be perfect. What does that tell us? It tells us that sometimes it's simply not God's time. And if it's not God's time, you, me, none of us can force it. And on the flip side of that, if it is God's time, you can't stop it. Our God is an on-time God. You remember that old gospel song? He's an on-time God. While you're waiting, he's working. While you're waiting, he's working, and you don't always feel it, and you don't always see it, and you don't always know it. But we got to be able to praise before the provision comes. We got to be able to praise in the belly of the, I guess, not so stinky fish. Jonah prayed. But it was 9 verses later that God acted. Let me just tell you that God hears you the very first time you pray. He hears you. But sometimes we got to be like that persistent widow that Jesus talked about, where we just keep coming back, and we keep coming back, and we keep coming back. Now, we're almost done, I promise. Jonah was in the belly of this fish for 3 days and for three nights, right? We've heard that story before, right? We've heard of another person that was somewhere, a certain place, for 3 days and three nights, right? It's kind of interesting how that works. Jonah lived somewhere around 785 BC, roughly 750 to 800 years before the birth of Christ. And what we see here in the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of what Jesus actually spoke about in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 12. Okay? The Pharisees are like, "Hey, yo, Jesus, we won't believe you unless you show us a sign." This is what Jesus says, Matthew 12, 39 and 40. He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Well, when does that happen? It happens after he goes to the cross for us. It happens after he takes on the weight of our sin and the punishment that we deserved in order for us to be perfect in the eyes of a perfect God. And then he's taken and he's stuck into a borrowed tomb because he only needed it for a little while. He was stuck into the borrowed tomb, and he defeated sin. He defeated Satan. He defeated death. And he did that for you. And because of that, Christ follower, you can declare victory in Jesus Christ today. But if you don't know Jesus, because of that, you can claim victory today. Stand to your feet with every eye closed and every head bowed. I know it was kind of a lot there. We kind of went a couple different directions, but where I feel led to speak on here is that I truly feel like there's some of us in this place that are waiting on God's provision. And maybe we're stuck in a place personally, relationally, professionally, financially, maybe in the ministry that you serve in. And maybe it's not the belly of a whale, but to you, it feels like your ship is about to break and you don't know where you're going to go or what you're going to do. Jonah 2:9. He praised in the belly of the whale. He prayed to God and he trusted God. And he praised him before he ever saw the resolution to the problem. I want to encourage you all this morning that if that's you, God's provision is coming. God's promise is real. God's timing is never late. But something that we can remember is that if it's not God's timing, we can't force it. But if it is God's timing, we can't stop it. I just want to pray together as a church. And, you know, I feel led to invite you guys to come up to the altar here as Ian maybe can strum a little bit, maybe take the volume up on that a little bit, but I want to invite you guys to come up here. Come up to this altar and lay whatever you're dealing with on this altar. Lay that pain on this altar. Lay that confusion on this altar. You might be in the middle of the storm right now, but God hears you the first time that you pray. I'm going to give you the opportunity. If you feel led, come on up right now. You can come. You don't have to wait for me. If you feel that, come on. Come on. Let's pray together, guys. Let's remove the veil. This ain't fake. This is church. This is where we come together. This is where we let it all go. This is where we can be vulnerable with people who are just like us. Remove the veil. Cry out to your Father. In the middle of the pain, pray for his provision. Our God is an on-time God. But sometimes we got to have Jonah 2:9 faith. Ian, just keep playing. Just keep playing. Let's pray. of you who are up here, you feel free to keep doing what you're doing. I just want to speak to somebody maybe who's here this morning who says, you know, I've never experienced that love of Christ. You know, I've been coming to church and been checking this thing out, but I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I don't know Jesus the way that you talk about him. Today, the Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. In that borrowed tomb that I talked about, your name is on the list. When Jesus said, I'm going to go die for those people, you are those people. What does that look like? What does it look like to be saved? The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means me. That means all of us. What does it mean to be saved? Well, it's simple. It's free. Gotta love free. Jesus said, those who will receive me, I will dwell within them. It's saying, you know what, God, I can't do this on my own. I am a sinner. I fall short. I need you. And then it's yielding your life to him. It's a simple prayer. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Lord, dwell within me and change my life. If there's somebody in this place this morning that needs to pray that prayer, if you would just raise your hand for me. Nobody's going to come to you. Nobody's going to... I see your hand. I see your hands. I see hands. I see hands. I see hands. You guys, God initiated relationship with us. What does that mean? It means that we didn't have to take the first step. We didn't have to make the first move. He did it for us. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for moving in this place here today. I thank you. I thank you for provision, but I thank you for the storms as well. We pray that we would have the Jonah 2:9 type of faith. God, I pray for this church, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would, that when we hear the voice of the Lord, that we wouldn't say no, that we would say yes, Lord. Where do we go next, Lord? God, I would pray that we would step out and that maybe we got to break the mold, but I pray that we would see a revival take place in this town, in this state, in this country, in this world, Lord. But I pray that we would start with the field that you've given us and that we would be a light to Springfield Township and that people would come to know Christ that maybe never, ever, ever would have believed. But through seeing you in this place and these people, that hearts and lives could be changed and eternity, literal eternity, could be affected, God. Lord, I pray that you would give us a heart, that we would get out of the norms, that we would be okay with doing something different if it means seeing somebody come to know Christ, that we would be okay being uncomfortable if it means seeing somebody come to know you. God, I pray for a revival in this place. We thank you so much for being with us here today. We thank you that your presence is always here. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.